We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Rulings that the plaintiffs needed to identify themselves.
The 22 plaintiffs, and it may not be 22 at this point, but the plaintiffs all intend to proceed with their names.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Turn my mic on today. Yes, sir. Clint is in the building. T. Sleazy is here. And the latest here. Now, 20 of 21 lawsuits have been amended and are available on the Harris County District's Clerk's website. So now, Tony Busby, the attorney for now 20 of the 21 plaintiffs, they've refiled and now their names are attached. There is one outstanding, but other news also, Clint, one of the plaintiffs that had filed a lawsuit against Deshaun Watson has dropped her lawsuit for now in light of privacy and security concerns. The plaintiff reserves the right to refile this case once such concerns are addressed. So 20 still remain. 20 stayed forth even after their names to be made public stayed forth with their lawsuits, and only one. We talked about it. We said today, Wednesday, would let us know how big of a victory Friday was for Rusty Harden and the Watson camp. Now that we know at this moment at 2:02 that one has dropped and now there are 20 lawsuits, how big is the W or how big is the win from Friday?
Well, I think it's a win. I mean, obviously, at this point in time, if just with the hearing scheduled and the ruling that they had to put their name on their lawsuit, if it shrunk the number by one, then it was a win. Now, there's no doubt about it that Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson, I'm sure, hope that in itself would shrink the number by more than just one. But where we sit right now, one is better than none, and I think it's definitely a move in the right direction for Deshaun Watson in his efforts to again shrink the number as low as possible and ultimately prove his innocence.
Yeah, it's a slight win, but I would wonder how disappointed it is, because I bet you they were hoping, all right, we get this out. Now this thing could get public. Yep. Maybe we're dealing with 15 names. Maybe we're dealing with 13 or 12 names and having to go through that. And then we'll see how many of these then possibly with the evidence or potential lack of evidence we could get down. But now 20 are hanging in strong. And that part is got to at least be pretty disappointing. That still that many names are hanging in.
Well, sure. I haven't. I don't speak for everybody. I haven't seen the amended lawsuits, the paperwork, and so I don't. I haven't had the time to go through and figure out which lawsuit it is specifically that decided to withdraw from the group. The fact of the matter is if this is one of the lawsuits. I think there were three, maybe four of the 22 that accused Deshaun of a forceful act, of forcing them into some kind of sexual act. If it were one of those three or four, then that changes, you know, it changes the view of how big that that one less lawsuit really is. If it's one of the six or seven that either involve a forceful act or the accusation of a forceful act, or because there's three or four other ones that involved other people where the plaintiff walked out and called somebody, a family member or a friend. Yep. The plaintiff walked out and walked next door and spoke to a friend. If it were one of those lawsuits, it's much bigger than just one of 22. So I think there's some details that have yet to emerge that'll give us a little more look into exactly what this means. But I think it's fair to say that Deshaun and Rusty Harden hope that this would
result in a little.
This
bit.
Would result in more than one of the lawsuits.
A little
going
bit
away.
More movement. Also, yep. we'll let you know there's potentially a hearing at 2 o'clock. If there's any other new information from that, we'll of course keep you updated on that. Now, one of the things out of this you said we've talked about this week was if Deshaun can string together some winning days, some
positive days.
That's better. If he could string together some positive days, like we had Friday, which was a positive day for Deshaun, if he could string this, it may speed the process up potentially of something being done with his football career right now.
Yeah.
A potentially trade or something. This could be sped up. Would you consider, from what we know today thus far, one of those days that stacks up as a positive day behind Friday?
Yeah, I mean, it stacks up, but I think you're going to need much, much more. It won't even be a blip on the radar if you don't follow it up with some kind of success in a sense of now that one of the 22 has decided to withdraw the lawsuit based on the ruling. You got to have a major win in terms of your due diligence now of the discovery with each one of these plaintiffs to be able to go back, and whether it's comparing Instagram messages, DMs, or it's text messages that followed up afterwards that prove the lawsuit not to be as honest as it once appeared. Like, you've got to win in a major, major way on that end in order for today, the one withdrawal, to matter.
It doesn't feel like it's up onto the stacking of, all right, this is a positive winning day for that. Like, I'm just thinking, is this something that would speed up the process potentially of something happening? Well, I don't know if today was.
Well, I mean, chipping away, I think big picture today was definitely speeding up the process in a sense of the names are now attached, and there's work that can be done. I think there's always work that can be done, and I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't think Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson had a gauge of a good chunk of these plaintiffs, what their names were, but we're just sitting around trying to figure out how to create a defense. I'm not saying that by any means, but now with the names being public, you know 100% there's work to be done, there's progress to be made, and the evidence will show whether it's sped up in a major way, or if it just continues, the faucet continues to just drip one at a time for a while. Right now, again, I know there's a time stamp on the draft out there, and you're looking at, what are we, 15 days out now?
15 beautiful days away.
And one lawsuit withdrawing over a two business day, three business day, counting today, span of time, that ain't going to get you there. That's going to be, you're going to need more in a quick way.
It didn't seem like you got this thing down to like 13 today. If we'd have gotten up and maybe seven or eight, you know, or nine set, then that could speed the process up. But one, still 20.
Yeah,
still 20. I mean, out there that
show, if you look at it from a financial perspective, though, I heard Seth Payne from Payne and Pendergast in the morning. If you missed them this morning, you can use that Odyssey app and hit that rewind feature and go back and listen to their show. It's always, always on point and on time. But Seth Payne talking about, possibly each one of these lawsuits costing Deshaun Watson $250,000. And I don't remember That was a week or so ago when I heard that. I'm not pinning anything to Seth. I'm just saying I heard that number thrown out there. Don't remember all the details. But with that said, if each one's worth 250 and one backed out, I would consider that a win financially.
Yeah. Yeah, financially, yeah. So anyway, whittling them down financially, yeah, that counts as a small, small win. We'll keep you updated on everything that's happening with that. Still 20 women still staying in with their lawsuits, even though names have been made public now for Rusty Harden and the Watson camp. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. I got a question, boys. All right, what's your concern meter? What's your concern meter on the Houston Astros? Four in a row they've lost. And they've been kind of getting their ass kicked a little bit. 8-2 last night, blown out in this game. It was never close. Jake Odorizzi in his debut, he struggled. And I don't even apologize if I'm saying your name wrong right now. Jake Odorizzi, he struggled. Don't seem to have pitchers that can go five innings except for Zach Greinke. What's your concern meter right now, 6-5, 11 games into the season now on a four-game losing streak for the Astros?
Yeah, big picture, not concerned. I mean, it's a very small sample size, and they've clearly done some really good things out of the gate, and boy, it took a swing for the worse over the last, hell, when they came home ultimately. So look, there's definitely room for concern, but I think it's too small of a sample size. It's way too early to have a ton of concern with the Astros. But they've definitely got to string some things together here to get the tide turned. Four straight. And especially when we're talking about the A's who you swept in a four game series to crank this thing up. Followed up by Detroit, who was on a four-game slide when they came to town. So the more details we bring to the table, show the more concerning it is. But I think it's early, and the Astros will be all right.
That's what it is. Like, it's the Tigers. I mean, they're going to lose 100 games. I mean, they're going to lose 90 to 100.
Not
games.
If that lineup, who we didn't know, one person in continues to hit.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, they're not going to keep doing this. All right, that's what it is. The Astros, especially with their lineup. They feel like one of those teams that'll just absolutely feast on bad teams. Like bad teams because the Tigers, before these last two games, didn't have a great pitching staff. But it seems as though they're shutting down the Astros. I had to shut me up a little bit. But right. But with that lineup, they seem like they would feast and crush teams. That's the biggest thing. Not much concerning because I'm not – the Astros have too good a lineup to think that they're going to sit down here and just – stink.
Agreed.
Like this is just a stretch where they're just kind of struggling, where you got several people in the lineup
this goes back to what we said though, show, right? I mean, to start the season, I mean, this team can't be dependent on the lineup scoring 6 to 8 runs every single night. I mean, you got to be in this thing in the night. You got to be in this thing in the eighth and then allow that lineup that's comfortable under pressure and tends to rise to the occasion in big moments try to do so in the ninth, but when two ninth inning home runs don't mean a damn thing because the lead has been stretched, six runs, then you got some major problems. So clearly coming out of the gate, I think everybody was concerned with the staff and the bullpen. They had a good get out the first four games, but since then the struggles have appeared and it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, it is. From the text line, didn't show go to the first game of the losing streak. Stop, guys. I have not even been to a game.
He hadn't been there yet.
Good God. What did you just make that up? I haven't even been to a game yet. Don't put this on me. Listen, we talked him down in game one. I'd say that was us. Yesterday, they just got their ass kicked, and it had nothing to do with us at all. All right, Clint Sterner is fired up. There is a new rule potentially being laid down with the NFL that has Clint Sterner stirred up. Hopefully. He doesn't cuss. I hope he does. We'll hear that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Oh, boy. Clint Sterner was really, really fired up about this. According to Tom Pelissero, the NFL informed clubs that it will restructure offseason programs with phase one extend to 4 weeks starting on Monday. No on-field work until Phase 2 begins May 17th. But the NFLPA, Clint, is urging players to boycott these voluntary off-season workouts. They are urging this. I believe the Seahawks, the Broncos, those were teams that said that they would step out and not participate in these. That was reported yesterday. You are really fired up about this decision and this thought that the NFL Players Association would give this advice or try to urge their players to do this.
Yeah, look, and I think several teams have come out and responded to the NFLPA urging players to boycott voluntary offseason workouts with their own individual letter of Team X will choose not to attend voluntary workouts, voluntary offseason workouts. And I think it's nuts. I think it's absolutely nuts, and I think it's nuts for a few reasons. I think number one, they're citing health issue. You know, the health concern, the health risk with COVID-19, which I 100% understand, and I'm not minimizing the COVID-19 dynamic to football or any other sporting event in 2021 and beyond, for all we know. But when it's all said and done, there's one thing we know. The good teams in the NFL, they're going to work out together somewhere, somehow. So you can miss me with the fact that if it were as a team at the facility, that there's some kind of elevated risk to what these players are taking on a day-to-day basis in living in whatever city they're gonna live in to work out, and working out wherever it is they're going to work out. I think they're going to get together. We saw that last year with Brady. Brady got his guys together. They were going to high schools and working out and throwing. That the good teams are going to get together. They're going to spend a crazy amount of time together this offseason if they're not doing it already. And they will, running backs, tailbacks, centers, receivers, tight ends, quarterback, they'll all be together working out in some way, shape, or form. Why you wouldn't want to do that at your facility, call it what you want, voluntary, involuntary, why you would want to urge players to boycott voluntary offseason workouts, knowing that the good teams in this league are going to get together anyway, that's silly to me. And then the when it really gets under my skin is the fact that young players, they need these workouts desperately. They need in-person communication and in-person work. They need it desperately. There's no question about it. You look at Tua in Miami. You look at Burrow in Cincinnati. Go out west on the West Coast. What's my man's name out here with the Chargers?
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert. I mean, needs it desperately. I'll go up to the Northeast. Josh Allen. Josh Allen's a very, very good quarterback, no question. What could help him take his game to the next level? In person, off season, time together with his team in the meeting room, on the practice field. And I'm not just talking about a 4-week span before you start training camp. I'm talking about long haul, over an extended period of time. These guys need this work. They need the time around their team. Young quarterbacks need time to naturally, genuinely, and sincerely take over a locker room. And when it's done is in these moments. And I just think it's for the NFLPA, again, to urge players to boycott voluntary offseason workouts as if it's no big deal, I think it's out of line. I think it's silly. And then you just go to big picture NFL players, show. I mean, these guys, they need discipline. They need accountability. They need routine. They need strength coaches and trainers and a facility to report to and a locker to sit in. They need those things. They need that in their life to be the best athlete they can be. They need that in their life. And to encourage guys not to take part in that, I don't see the win. I don't see the end game with the NFLPA doing that. And I sure I I sure don't think it helps the product on the field for the NFL overall.
As Clint said, as we're discussing here, Clint hit us with a, and you know he's serious when he walked in. This is just silly as hell.
Silly as hell that
the PA, the NFL Players Association, would urge their players to boycott these voluntary offseason workouts. See, when I hear you talk about it, the first thing I hear is, this sounds like this is going to affect the product on the field. This sounds like this potentially is going to, because we saw how things changed last year due to COVID and how teams weren't able to work out and play and get work in ahead and how that kind of changed the game a bit of what we watched. We saw it affected product. Well, what is the real reason then that the Players Association would urge this?
Like the business side of football. And I understand it's a necessary evil, but you know, it's the rights of players, and the old way of doing things is involuntary workouts or voluntary workouts. I'm sorry, you know, we're obviously called that and couched that in writing, but we all knew that hey, yes, better be there come, you know, July 10th or whatever the report date was. You needed to be there, and ultimately, it's the business side of things of the unwritten rules. We're going to address those, and we're going to straighten everything out. You're going to make us play or ask us to play a 17th game this season. Well, then I'll be damned if we're going to do things normal in the off season the way we used to do it. You know, it's this constant tug of war on the business side of football, and I get it. I mean, I get that the NFLPA's job is to hold teams accountable and be that buffer between the player and organizations. I get all that. But when a year ago, when COVID-19 hit, the season got suspended, pushed back, and training camp got disrupted, no preseason games, and the whole concern was as players, which I agree with, need this ramp-up period, man. We can't start these all-out full pad practice and a full go without this ramp-up. Got to have this ramp-up period. It's ultra important to have this ramp up period. And then less than a year later, you're talking about, nah, we'll work out on our own. We're going to urge everybody not to go to those voluntary workouts. I think it's business, the business side of football, the necessary evil of business side of football getting in the way of what I think a good chunk of this league needs to prepare to compete at a high level, to earn a job in the NFL, and ultimately to be the best player that they can be on Sunday. I think you're urging players to make a poor decision, career decision for a lot of guys, and financial decisions for a lot of guys. It's one that I just can't wrap my head around. Like me, I had to be
there's
there.
There's no way, yeah, you would.
I had to be there. I had to be there to try to win a job. I had to be there every day to show these cats, like, hey, what kind of dude I am. Look,
it's harder for you to do that virtually.
Hell yeah, it's harder to do that. Let's show that. I mean, the truth of the matter is 2/3 of every roster is made up of guys that need to prove that they're accountable. They need to prove that they're the hardest worker in the weight room and can stay in shape and can eat right and can be disciplined off the field and can communicate with others. And will fall in line and follow the leaders in this organization. Ain't going to buck the system. Can be a professional. The only way coaches know that is if they see that every single day from you in the offseason. And so to make workouts virtual and think that coaches are going to somehow get the same value out of that in terms of evaluating players, I think is crazy. To make workouts virtual for 4 weeks and think that players are going to get the same results out of those workouts that they would if they were at the facility is a mistake. I mean, it's simply a mistake. To minimize the time spent at the facility for 2/3 of the roster, I think is a major, major mistake. For J.J. Watt, no, ain't no problem. For DeAndre Hopkins, ain't no problem. For Deshaun Watson, ain't no problem, right? But there's guys that a good chunk of the roster desperately need that time at the facility. And we're talking about, the Rangers had full capacity at a ballpark. People sitting elbow to elbow. I mean, we're talking about I guarantee in May, the Astros will have more people in the stand than 50% at the stadium. And you can't get – you think it's a health risk for the football team?
Well, it's obviously
to work out
the
together?
Tug of war. It's obviously you no added question. The 17th game, and we're going to – I'm sorry, I can't move on, Tyler. I know I got on Clint last week about looking like Ted Danson with his hair.
Ted Danson.
And I'm talking about, like, the Good Place Ted Danson, not Cheers. Today, Clint's got championship hair today.
Come on now.
Come on, buddy. I'm sorry. I can't y'all even like go that? On with the conversation.
I was wondering what was going on.
It is spectacular today.
I mean, a little switch up on y'all.
He went from looking like Ted Danson to looking like David Beckham today.
Just the hair.
Like the Posh Spice is not walking
David
in here.
Beckham. Look like an eight date. He looks this little scrawny ass.
This is championship hair. I don't know what kind of
He's always got championship hair, but I walked in today and I thought, I even noticed, I said, man, he's doing something different today.
This product is staying.
I got that fade cleaned up on Friday because show made fun of my hairy neck, and then I went with a little different. I'm going to change it up on top. I'm just going to change it up on top. Got to keep on the toes, man. Still working on it. Got a cowlick issue in the back I'm working with, but I'm going to get it right.
T. Sleazy, take a picture of him during the break. Load that up on Twitter. Let people see that. Look at this championship hair Clint Turner is going with.
Appreciate that. We got to step our game up now. No more Ted Danson today.
Baby, I'm telling you, David Beckham.
Ted Danson.
Just the hair. The draft is 15 days away, and I'm telling you, moves at the top. There may be some movement at the top. People think they have the first three picks down. No, there may be a shakeup. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, the draft's in 15 days, Clint. And somewhere, I know you want to be here, but I honestly feel if there was one place you would rather be right now, it'd be at Justin Fields' second pro day. I think you would love to be able to sit out there and watch Justin Fields go through this pro day. It's his second one because, of course, now players are just having double pro days because there's really no combine. His second one, and according to Albert Breer, the Jets are there, the Niners are there, the Falcons, the Panthers, the Broncos, the Patriots all have been confirmed to be in attendance. You say you think he is going to go second or third in this draft. This is probably the last time he gets to make a really big impression on the Jets, who have the number two pick.
Yeah, look, I mean, here's the deal. I think it's funny where we sit today in the media and the evaluators and the analyzers of quarterbacks who it's the hottest button in the game right now, whether you're talking about the draft or you're talking about the season or playoffs or the greatest ever. It's a heated debate a lot of the time. And it's just interesting that we're living in this day where top quarterbacks are now having two pro days, and it's a race to see who can have the last pro day, right? I mean, I think Trey Lance has got his second pro day scheduled between now and the draft. I think it's next.
Has Mac Jones already had his two?
Yes, Mac Jones is the first one to have two. Zach Wilson did not have two.
I bet Trevor's not going to do a second one.
Trevor damn near didn't do his first. Trevor damn near told him because he had to have something, surgery with his left shoulder or something. Yeah. But, yeah, look, I mean, I think we're in an interesting day and age where it's almost this juggling act of who can be seen last. But, yeah, Justin Fields is a guy to me that if you look at big picture, I think he's got an extremely high ceiling. I think you've seen a good sample size of very, very good play, but you haven't seen the best of Justin Fields yet. I think the high ceiling coupled with what we've already seen, coupled with the fact that, boy, there's room for major growth, really puts him in a category that, in my opinion, he's above everybody other than Trevor Lawrence. The fact that San Francisco and New York are both in attendance, I think, is very, very telling. I don't think either one of those teams are settled on who's number two or who's number three.
You don't think the Jets are settled?
No, I don't. They wouldn't be. Why would they be there? There's one team that wasn't on that list. You know who that was.
Jacksonville has settled.
There ain't no doubt about it. It's not just hearsay. It's not somebody talking about the fact that they
lost. Well, Urban a couple of weeks ago all but told you. I don't think I'm moving in the wrong direction to say that's where we're headed.
Well, look, word on the street is Trevor Lawrence has the Jags playbook and is acting as if he's already part of the organization. He's already part of the team. That's how you know a guy's locked in for a draft pick. All the smoke around Zach Wilson, I think it's fun. I think it's polarizing. I think you got a group of individuals. Like I heard Chris Sims talking yesterday that he thinks that Zach Wilson should go before Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Chris is high as a kite.
Yeah, look, it's polarizing from a standpoint of some people love and agree with it and want to hear more of it, and some people go, man, you're crazy as hell. So that's the topic right now. Same thing with Mac Jones. I think there's some individuals there's some people out there that think being a high-level processor can be is the end-all, be-all, and think that if you play at Alabama for 19 games and put up big numbers, that means you're a high-level processor regardless of your other skill set. And so there's people that think, hey, that guy's like Tom Brady, he should be. And then there's people that go, ain't no way in hell. So those two guys, they stir the pot really, really well when you talk about those two guys. I think Trevor Lawrence being number one is not being discussed because people aren't going to debate it. And I think Justin Fields is a guy that that is, when it's all said and done, if you take everything into consideration, if I take everything into consideration, I know how the NFL works. They love tangibles. They love that size. They love that speed. They love the arm.
Yeah, the prototypical guy.
They love that show. And in today's world, very rarely do you get a big 6'3", 6'4", which he's not 6'4", he's 6'3", but he's 215 with that body and can run. You know, you got Kyler Murray. You got Lamar Jackson. These are all guys that are great athletes, but you go, man, I mean, can their body hold up? You got Justin Fields, who he's got the speed and he's got the build to go, man, that's nice. And he's got the whip. And he played at a school where there was competition, that the film means something. And like I said to start this conversation, I just believe he's a combination of tangibles that are through the roof, high ceiling, film that's pretty damn good. And then when you look in the middle, you go, okay, there is a crazy amount of room to develop. That's the guy that's got the highest value in terms of everybody other than Trevor Lawrence.
Clint doesn't believe it is a foregone conclusion who the top quarterbacks are going to be. Most people have Trevor Lawrence being followed up by Zach Wilson going to the Jets. I believe that'll happen. We actually have a bet on that, and I'm going to win that, obviously. But let's say if – because the Jets are in attendance at this second pro day.
Yep.
If the Jets are, okay, we're with Zach Wilson. Let's say the reports are there. What, because you've been through these pro days, what could Justin Fields do to change the mind of the Jets? Or to, like, what could happen at a pro day that they haven't seen before? Could this really be a moment where they're at his second pro day that they could see something where they're like, all right, Justin Fields is the way we want to go instead of Zach Wilson or instead of Mac Jones, although I can't believe he would go second.
Right.
But, I mean, what could he do at a pro day?
Well, I think they're obviously going to comp him to Zach Wilson, right? I mean, so when you see him in part, I think the biggest thing an evaluator can take away, or a handful of the biggest things an evaluator can take away from a pro day that you can't see. A lot of times you can't even see it on game day because there's so much going on. You're at a distance. There's so many factors that come into play that you can't see a lot of this even on game day. Damn sure can't see it on film. But one is stature, like weight distribution. You can't see that on film, right? There's guys when you show up and you see them in person, you go, man, this dude is stacked. I mean, he's built better than I thought he was. Or you show up and you go, man, he's not what I thought he was. You know, he's more of a slender build, you know, with in person, you know, with some weaknesses in areas in his lower body that could be problematic in the NFL. And you could see those things, identify those things, or you could see the crazy strength of a guy being stacked the way that Justin Fields, I believe, is. The other thing is the way the ball jumps off of a guy's hand. Right, which I think Zach Wilson is one of those guys where when you see him in person, it jumps off his hand. It's not about velocity. It's not about arm strength. but it jumps off his hand. And the ability to throw in all the different arm slots, it's sexy. It's fun to watch. It's fun for anybody that you don't have to know the game in and out. It's just fun to watch this kid throw the ball off all these different platforms, falling backwards from different arm slots, and it's easy to get enamored with that. And it's a valuable part of playing the position. Now, can Justin Fields show in a pro day that he can do some of those things? Doesn't have to do it as well, right? Hell, Trevor Lawrence doesn't do it as well as Zach Wilson, and it's not even a conversation about the two, unless you talk to Chris Sims. But there's, can you show enough of the off platform, change the arm angle, change the arm slot? Can you show enough in a planned workout, a designed workout, to check the box? You know, those are some things that could really, really change the game for Justin Fields if you see him in person. How does the ball come off his hand when he's throwing the mid-range game? Not the flip your hips, throw it 80. I don't give a rip about that, right? But can you plant your back foot in the ground and throw the dig, and does the ball jump off your hand even when you're throwing it with touch, right? I mean, those are the things that you just can't see. You can see once or maybe twice every couple of games, but you can't see it over and over and ask for more of it if you need it. I think Justin Fields has an opportunity today to really rise and be in that number two conversation, damn sure the number three conversation.
All right, so yeah, his second pro day. This will be a big one. All of the teams that matter are there except for Jacksonville, because they're going to pick Trevor Lawrence. It's
completely because they're legitimately committed to their pick.
Yeah, they've got theirs. We'll
not
see,
just hearsay.
And the Jets are too. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, this is a big, big day for Justin Fields, and really a big day to understand potentially where this draft could go. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And Clint, speaking of the draft, I feel like Kyle Pitts, the tight end from Florida, I don't know why. I just feel like he's getting overhyped. Like, I feel like the hype is becoming very, very strong. He's really, really talented. I mean, I'm seeing he's the second best guy in the draft. Like, behind Trevor Lawrence, I believe that's what Mel Kiper has him, behind Trevor Lawrence, that Kyle Pitts. It is just seeing a rising growth of Kyle Pitts to where we're hearing, like, at four, he could be serious with the Falcons, and at five, there's another spot. Where, like, there has only been, since 73, there's never been a tight end selected in the top five. Since 73, there's been two picked at six, Charlie Young and then Kellen Winslow Jr.
Vernon Davis was six.
Was he sixth?
Yeah.
Vernon Davis was six. He was in the – well, I mean, that's three guys since 1973 that have been selected sixth or higher. And to think – I mean, Kyle Pitts, I just get concerned when you start to hear people just – like, just one guy just gets, oh, yeah, he can't miss.
Here's my struggle with Kyle Pitts. Like, I just think that the NFL will forever be a league where the more valuable tight end is the guy that can put his hand in the dirt and be a big part of the run game, as well as stand up in the slot and match up with safeties or match up with linebackers and be a legitimate threat, right? That guy, that hybrid, the hand in the dirt to the two-point stance. And be really, really good in both. Not, you don't have to be great neither, but be really, really good in both. The problem with Kyle Pitts to me is he's not going to be good with his hand in the dirt in a run game. He's not going to help you in a run game.
Like right now, at least.
No, he's not.
You think even down the line.
He's just not. He's going to be a guy that's going to be a great stand-up tight end. And then a good offense will move him around and create mismatches versus small corners, versus slot defenders, or versus linebackers, and that's going to be where he lives. Like you're not going to put his hand in the dirt and go, okay, he can handle that defensive end by himself, or he can handle that defensive end in pass protection, right? There's those guys to meet. I'm speaking personally. I love Kyle Pitts as a weapon, right? I don't love Kyle Pitts as a top 10 draft pick.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it has the, and I know the value of the tight end position is greater. We see with Kittle and we see with Kelce and we see with, but like, are we at a place where top four? Like, that's a, like, that just feels high for the position to me. Like, do they, are they, yeah, they able to affect the game like that? Like, it's hard for me to go Kyle Pitts and not take that tackle from Oregon. Like, that, no, that seems to be so much more valuable when it comes to winning. And this may be, and I'm 36, maybe I'm just old schooling or something, but it just feels like a tight end in the top. Like, as we said, since 1973, the hell, there's only been three of them, three or four who've been drafted in the top six.
Yeah.
Like, that just feels early. That feels, wait, I mean, Kelce's in the third round. Hell, Kettle's in the, I believe, the fifth. Something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels, that just feels early. Or maybe we, maybe I'm off. Maybe we're moving into a place. Like, when I keep hearing your guy Jerry Jones is enamored with him and is like, that would just seem to be stupid to me.
Oh, I agree. And Dallas, Dallas has got to go defensive back. Dallas has got to go corner, right? I mean, they, there's no question about it. Whether it's Horn or Sertan, he's got to go. They got to go corner in Dallas. Don't give me the best player available crap. You've got to go corner in Dallas, no brainer. There's zero doubt about it. You can't tell me that a tight end that can't play literally every snap of the game, that can't stay on the field when you change personnel.
Because he's a, so you think he would be viewed as a detriment in the run game?
It's not a detriment. Can he go in there and do, you know, in a perfect system, can he do what Kelce does? Yeah. But Kelce's a system tight end. I mean, Kelce's a guy that would have a hard time having that success outside of that offense.
And he's somebody who's improved his run.
He's better, but he still don't want to do it. And he's with a team that doesn't pack the box to run the ball. They spread you and throw the ball to create the run. I mean, they were a little bit better last year at times of really trying to commit to the run and force the run, so to speak. But he's not a guy that wants to do those things. And you look at Kittle on the West Coast with San Francisco. He's a guy that loves that. He's dirty. He's nasty. He's a fullback, tight end, hybrid type of guy. Never comes off the field. Can put his hand in the dirt at the end of the line of scrimmage or in the backfield. And loves blocking. Loves contact. He fits that system perfectly. Like, if that's the deal, is, you know.
So are we moving to a place where these teams just don't give a damn about that?
I'm giving you my personal opinion. It's like, if a TJ Hockenson, I can, now we can have a conversation about Hunter Henry. We can have a conversation about a value of a Hunter Henry. Those kinds of guys that aren't necessarily great anywhere, but goal line, they're in the game. Third down, they're in the game. Third and eight, they're in the game. They might be attached. They might be in the backfield. They might be out singled up as a receiver. They might be in the slot. Those are guys to me that are that valuable of a piece to an offense. It's hard for me to take a player that goes, even as great as he is, it's hard for me to go, man, if there's a box that's not checked that he's not great at, it's hard for me to take that guy or has the potential to be great at, right? I mean, because if you watch him and you go, man, this dude, he's got the dog in him. He just needs some technique work.
Or some weight.
Right?
Or some,
yeah, whatever it may be. Okay, then
you don't
then
see
I'm
that out of Kyle Pitts.
I mean, look, I haven't studied
it's
Kyle
like
Pitts.
He don't want to do it.
Well, he strikes me as a receiver tight end hybrid, not a O-line tight end hybrid or H-back tight end hybrid.
He seems
guy.
To be lighter on the side of tight end.
Yeah, he wants to go high point the football. He wants to back show. He wants to do receiver things in a 250-pound body, 6'6 frame. And that's fine. That's great. Me personally.
That's hard to take at four.
I need the guy that's three down tight end. I need the guy that can help me in every situation on the field, not just passing situations.
We said Friday was, we said today will let us know how big of a day, a winning day it was for Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson from Friday. Well, we've got more information, and we will let you know how big Friday was for Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden. We'll let you know about that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.